song for a while. I'll give you a heart for a moment sublime. Right from the start, we'll have a grand time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rudy Valley welcoming you to another SEAL test program. Tonight, we're looking forward to having a lot of fun because in our midst is a favorite crony of ours, Groucho the Marx.
Hello, Rudy the Valley. What goes on here besides you?
You do, Groucho, in a minute.
Brilliant repartee, Valley. And tell me, who is this grotesque-looking creature approaching?
Groucho, that's John Barrymore.
John Barrymore? You didn't tell me he was going to be here tonight. What time does the next train leave for Glendale?
Not soon enough. Valley, do I have to put up with this weird Marxian creature?
Weird? Weird? Is the pot calling the kettle weird?
Fox, I haven't seen anything as weird as you since I was in Catalina in the glass-bottom boat.
Barrymore, it's a wonder that a man with your experience can stand up here and say a thing like that. In fact, it's a wonder that a man with your experience can stand up at all.
Gentlemen,
did somebody come in?
Please remember, Groucho, we're doing a play tonight about the Valley Barrymore Book Publishing Company, and you're an efficiency man. To business, gentlemen. To business.
This job of printing books is not as easy as it looks. It is a buzzing hive of commerce and activity. Phones are ringing, people yelling, keep on buying, keep on selling. There's no telling, causing movements of rapidity. Let's get rid of what we've got, but then again on second thought. Let's buy some more, the stuff is hot, we heard a rumor. We met a man who knows a guy who has a pal from Sigma Chi, who says that now's the time to buy the books of Boomer. We'd like you to get acquainted with two men who've long been raging as the big tycoons of Books Incorporated. So as the wheels of progress roar, let's hang a ticking through the door of the firm of Valley and Barrymore.
Hello, Valley Barrymore Book Publishing Company. Just a minute, please. It's for you, Mr. B.
Thank you. Hello? Barrymore spouting. So it's you again. Now listen, I'm telling you for the last time, you cannot have the Bobbsey twins at Brookdale Farm. No, I'm reading it myself. That's final. Goodbye, Lionel.
Good morning, J.P. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Let's take care of this week. Listen, R.V., what's the idea of firing my 6 red-headed secretaries? We're making money, aren't we?
Yes, it's true we're making money, but you're wasting it. So I've hired an efficiency man.
An efficiency man?
Yes, you know, a fellow who cuts down your expenses, saves you money, stops you from making mistakes, and keeps you out of trouble.
You mean you can hire a man to do that for you?
Yes.
Now he tells me. Tell me, Valley, where did you get this efficiency expert?
From the terribly efficient efficiency agency. They promised to send a man over this afternoon. They say he's terribly efficient. Or was it efficiency terrible?
Ah, good morning, boys. Good morning. Am I late? All right, let's get to work. Spread some sawdust on the floor, clean out the icebox, and hang out a few more lamb chops. This is no way to run a butcher shop.
Butcher shop? Who are you, I ask, fearing the answer.
I'm your new efficiency expert, J. Thorndike Marx. The J stands for G, the G stands for my girl, and she stands for plenty. Pass me the salt, my back is killing me.
Listen, my garrulous gargoyle.
Come, come, we've no time for flattery. Let's get to work. G. Thorndike Marx is on the job, and something must be done. You see in my bosom a wonderful motto, and though you may say that it isn't so hot, I must insist that something must be done. I make it a business of looking for trouble, of sticking a hatpin in everyone's bubble, and then insist that something must be done. Oh, something must be done. I must have my fun. When you need efficiency, just apply to little me. You'll find it's a fact. I am quite exact. There is nothing mystical. Everything statistical. System is the thing. That is why I sing. I do everything I should. I do the people very good. And though it may seem a dumb thing, even perhaps a glum thing, has to be, must be something done.
Oh, something must be done. He must have his fun.
When you need efficiency, just apply to clever me.
You'll find it's a fact. He is quite exact.
Oh, there is nothing mystical. Everything statistical.
System is the thing.
That is why I sing.
He does everything he should.
I do the people very good. Joke. And though I may seem a glum one, even perhaps a dumb one,
there has to be, must be someone
done. Well, gentlemen, there you are. Something must be done. What are those books doing over there? Fine way to run a butcher shop.
Mr. M, I'll have you know that this is not a butcher shop. I'll have you know it is a bookshop. I'll have you know. I'm Rudy Valley, and this is John Barrymore.
He'll have you know.
Yes, what makes you think we're butchers?
I listened to last week's show. Well, let's get down to work. We've got to save some expenses around here. Tell me, how do you get your messages in this place?
By telephone, of course.
I thought so. Strictly elementary. Tear out the telephones and replace them with a carrier pigeon.
And why, pray, a carrier pigeon?
Why, it's cheaper, faster. You don't have to bother with the repairs. And the only bill you get at the end of the month is the bill on the end of the pigeon. And if things get too tough, you can always eat the end of the pigeon. But
Valley.
Be sure you eat the right end.
Valley, can't we do anything to stifle this wheezing windbag?
Oh, so I can't talk, eh? Interfering with freedom of speech. You'll never get away with this, Barrymore. I stand upon my constitutional rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of Lana Turner.
But, Mr. Marx, sir, don't you think you'd better start off by examining our books, pray? I imagine you want to take a look at our credits and debits.
Credits and debits? Oh, of course. I remember them well. Credits and debits. It used to be credits, debits, and schwartz.
Yeah.
They did a juggling act in Brooklyn.
What has juggling got to do with our books?
I don't know. What they did in Long Island, I never find out. How a couple of boys like you can make a living out of this business is beyond me. Next thing I know, you'll tell me you even pay your income tax.
Of course we do, don't you?
Me? Pay income tax? I should say not. Not with my system. Never paid a cent of income tax in my life. Hello? Okay, Warden, I'll be back at 3 o'clock.
Mark, we hired you for efficiency, and I think it's time you started to efish.
Yes, stop efishing, you fatuous fish.
Oh, John, dear, I wish you felt the same way about me.
Laugh, sneer, you mucking magpie. As Shakespeare, the immortal bard, once aptly said, thou shalt be whipped with wire and stewed in brine, smarting in lingering pickle.
Brian? Pickle? Barrymore, I'll make you eat those words. You eat the words, and I'll eat the pickle.
Why, you dithering dolt?
Here we go again.
You question the reading of a Shakespearean line by J. Titus Fulvius Flaccus Barrymore.
Titus is right.
Not tonight. Whose Hamlet falls the Broadway night? And who Richard
the
Third took London bestall?
Barrymore, this is hardly the time for a weather report. Cyclone, storm. Must have been during the reign of Queen Victoria.
Boys, boys, what, pray, has this Shakespearean balderdash to do with the efficiency of our book business?
Oh, yes, the book business, gentlemen. And that's stretching a point. Gentlemen, I'm prepared to offer you the greatest proposition that's ever been offered a human being, dead or alive, and that covers both of you.
Just what is this putrid proposition, pray?
I'll tell you in a nutshell. No, I'd better not. It'll be a little too crowded in there. I'll tell you right here. We'll publish my latest book, The Love Life of a Polyp.
A polyp? What is a polyp?
John, everybody knows that a polyp is an invertebrate creature of the sea, having a hollow cylindrical body closed at one end, opening at the other by a central mouth surrounded by tentacles.
Boy, I'm glad you had that speech.
This is preposterous. You actually expect us to publish a book on the love life of a polyp?
Absolutely. Barrymore, you'll never get another chance like this if you live to be 100, which gives you about 3 months to look around.
John, I think this is a great idea. We'll make a lot of money out of these polyps.
Why, you can't be serious by wanting to publish a book on the love life of a polyp.
And why pray, not pray?
Never mind the pig Latin. Forget about polyps. Don't mention polyps. I hate polyps.
How do you feel about Madeline Carroll?
Oh, I like her.
Well, she likes polyps.
Yes, lolly polyps.
All right, Valley, all right. Publishers' books, I don't care. Butcher shop, carrier pigeon, Shakespeare, polyps. Ah! I'm going mad.
Wait, I'm going with you. Loreen, Loreen, darling, will you come in here a minute, please?
Rudy, who was that strange man who just ran out of the office?
That's our new efficiency man. But what makes you think he's strange?
Well, he bumped into me in the hall, clucked me under the chin, kissed me on the cheek, patted me on the shoulder, and said, I'll see you at the Palladium at 8 and bring along a friend for Harpo. He did.
What's a Harpo? Darling, that's G. Thorndike Marx. He's a great author. We're printing 1 million copies of his latest book, The Love Life of a Polyp.
1 million copies? But, darling, if you put all your money into this book and it fails, we won't be able to get married.
Yes, we will, my dear. Doreen, dear, I love you. You're so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
You're beautiful, too, Rudy. Ah, young love, it's glorious. It's divine. It's sweet. I'll go even further. It's sickening. Just picture a little cottage by the side of a hill with rambling roses and a waterfall. Oh, to be in Albuquerque now that the blanket season is here.
Darling, do you think it's quite safe to trust that man so far?
Yes, so far, but not much further. Loreen, you know the polyp gut that Madeline Carroll hasn't got? Pass me the paper clip. My feet hurt.
Rudy, Rudy, what are you saying? Oh, I'm terribly worried. That doesn't sound like the Rudy Valley I know.
Doesn't it? Does this?
Made up my mind. This is love at last. Made up my mind. Giving up the past. Now that I find that living is such a bore. Without the one that I adore. Forevermore. I've made up my mind. Let the bells ring out. Your hand in mine. Let the preacher shout. Do you take each other to live like your father and mother? Why, yes, we do. We've just made up our mind.
Well, that sounds like the Rudy Valley I know.
Thank you, dear. I must run along now, darling, to attend to my publishing business. The polyps are calling, and the presses are roaring.
That's the MGM line.
John, John, here it is. The last book off the press. The millionth copy of The Love Life of a Polyp by G. Thorndike Marx.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Let's get to work. Why don't you give that monkey a banana? This is no way to run a pet shop.
This is not a pet shop, my monkey.
Not your monkey. Why does he keep saying his monkey? I belong to a gorilla in Griffith Park.
Please, Mr. Marx, this is an important day for all of us. We're bringing out your book.
My book? What book?
The Love Life of a Polyp.
A polyp? What's a polyp?
What's a polyp? Why, you told me and my partner Barrymore.
Barrymore? Barrymore? What's a Barrymore?
Why, a Barrymore is...
Never mind. I'll answer that one. Now, look here, Marx.
Marx? Marx? What's a Marx?
The answer is censorable. You see, Valley?
Valley? Valley? What's a valley?
An incline between two mountains.
Oh, I see it all now. The book is no good, and you've lost all our money.
Let us not say I've lost your money. Rather, let me put it this way. No, let me put it this way. No, I guess I better put it the other way.
Well, you shouldn't have stopped me now, and I forgot where I put it.
Marks, you've got us into this mess. You're going to get us out. What do we do now?
We'll sell the book ourselves.
Gate to gate.
Door to door.
Cheek to cheek. Valley, may I have this dance?
No, thanks. No, thanks. I'll sit this one out. Well, let's get busy. Something must be done.
Egad. I can just see the look of surprise and adoration when this little housewife opens the door and finds not a mere house-to-house salesman, but the great profile, John Barrymore, upon her doorstep.
Well?
What light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and you, fair lady, are the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief that thou...
Oh, we got a vacuum cleaner.
Now, there's one thing I must remember. I must put my foot in the door. Get my foot in the door. Put my foot in the door.
Well?
Madam, I'm Rudy Valley. I'll give you a smile. All right.
Now, what do you want?
Just wanted to get my foot out of the door.
Well?
Well, my good woman, what are you doing at the front door? Don't you know a woman's place is in the kitchen? What are you trying to do, twist an old cliche? Or am I trying to cliche an old twist?
What do you want?
I have here a book I wrote, very educational for children. Have you any children?
Yes, I have 16 children.
16 children? Goodbye.
Wait, what about the book?
You haven't got time to read.
Rudy, why are you so discouraged?
Doreen, Groucho's books are a failure. Every cent I have is tied up in them. I have nothing left.
You have me, Rudy. And I love you.
I love you too, Doreen.
They drool like that every week.
Maybe it would cheer you up if you'd sing.
No, Doreen. I don't feel like singing.
What a lie. He's been rehearsing since 8 o'clock this morning.
Please sing, Rudy.
Well, all right.
See?
I'm no man for a memory. You're singing last year's tune. Looking at last year's moon. Whenever we kiss, I'm no match for a memory. You're living in the past, flying your heart half-mast for somebody else. There's a faraway look in your eye as we sit at a table for two, and I might as well reach for the sky as to try to reach out for you. You're in love with a memory, but in my heart I pray that maybe I'll be a match for a memory someday.
Oh, Rudy, that was so lovely.
You're lovely too, my love.
Lovely, lovely. Isn't it sickening?
Rudy!
Yes, Loreen?
Rudy, I have an idea how you might dispose of that book which that fake efficiency expert Groucho Marx wrote called The Love Life of a Polyp That Nobody Will Buy, which you and John Barrymore printed 1 million copies of using all the firm's money that we were going to use to get married on, so now we can't get married unless you sell the book. I have.
Now that you've laid that egg and planted the story, what is your idea, Loreen?
Well, my aunt, Penelope Updike, has $20 million, and though she's quite ugly, she'll buy anything. Why don't you sell her the book?
Loreen, that's a great idea. Penelope Updike, here I come.
Where did Rudy go?
He went to see my aunt, Mr. B. You see, she has $20 million, and I thought...
$20 million?
Yes.
Where did Barrymore go?
He went...
Never mind, I know. How much did you say your aunt had?
20 million.
Cash?
Yes.
Mr. Belly, are you asking me to buy all those books?
Yes, ma'am. A million beautiful books. Reading time, 67 years, 12 minutes.
A million books? What firm did you say you represented?
Valley and Barrymore, book publishers.
Barrymore, a book publisher? Isn't that a new wrinkle?
Yes, but on him it doesn't show. Just look at this book, Mrs. Updike. The Love Life of a Polyp by Groucho T. Marx.
Groucho Marx? Isn't he the one with the bushy black hair and the funny little hat?
No, that's Chico.
Well, is he the fellow who honks the horn and chases girls?
No, that's Barrymore. Or is it Valley? I don't know.
Ah, Rudy, boy, there you are. Is this the hag with the swag?
John, this is Mrs. Updike. She has $20 million.
What did you say?
This is Mrs. Updike.
Not the name, the amount.
I'm so thrilled. Here stands John Barrymore, so close to me. I could throw my arms around his neck and kiss him.
You do, and I'll scream.
John, Mrs. Updike may buy our books.
Mrs. Updike, you are fascinating, beautiful. Your long brown hair. Your long green.
My long green what?
Just your long green. Lovely, Mrs. Updike.
Oh, Mr. Barrymore, you turned my head.
I was hoping you'd do that.
Aha, Barrymore, make love to my wife, will you? Well, answer me, make love to my wife. I want to make love to Mrs. Updike.
Please, Mr. Marks, this is Mrs. Updike.
Why, Mrs. Updike, they told me you were homely, and they were right. Do you realize that your face is a potential secret weapon?
Mr. Marks, I'm certainly glad you came to help us sell the books.
Books? What books? If we must speak of books, let's speak of bank books.
Marks, you mercenary mountebank book.
Gentlemen, I pray you.
Get out of here, valet. We'll protect your interests.
Yes. But who'll protect Mrs. Updike? Oh, well, no matter. See you later.
Oh, my, oh, me. Here I am alone with two men. Little me alone with Groucho Marx and John Barrymore. Two men and a maid.
Maid? I thought you were Mrs. Updike. Bring in Mrs. Updike.
Silly, I am Mrs. Updike.
Then bring in the maid. Come, come, Barrymore. Get busy and sell those books.
Why, you blabbering buffoon. You curdled churl.
Mrs. Updike, are you going to stand there and let this man insult me? Me, your future husband?
Husband? Oh, Mr. Marx, you're just pulling my leg.
I know. I just wanted to get them even. Mrs. Updike. Mrs. Updike, have I ever told you that you're beautiful, you're gorgeous?
Why, no. You haven't.
Well, I'm going to tell you just as soon as I get a $5 deposit.
Mark, hold your tongue. You are speaking of the woman whose money I love. Isn't she sweet? See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek.
You know, I always wondered who wrote that line, Shakespeare or Bacon. The way Barrymore does it, it's Bacon.
Why, you boorish bumpkin. You slovenly sabbatigullion.
Temper.
Well, fellows, did you sell all the books?
Mrs. Updike, fly away with me.
Puppy, don't listen to Barrymore with his slick and oily tongue.
Did you tell her about the leather binding?
No, just the slick and oily tongue.
But what about the leather binding?
Who's got a leather binding?
You have. I wear suspenders.
Quiet! Too loud.
Be sure you get a T on the end of that, Barrymore.
But Mrs. Updike, let me play Romeo to your Juliet.
I wish you would play Romeo and let me play Mrs. Updike.
Oh, it's just too thrilly. Oh, Mr. Valley, I just can't choose between Mr. Barrymore and Mr. Marks. Which would you advise me to take?
Well, I hesitate to advise you, madame. After all, these two men have ulterior motives. Why, I am on the up and Updike.
It's easy to see we're not going to get anywhere until we get rid of Valley. And we're not going to get rid of Valley until we get rid of the books. Come on, Dikey, make with the checky.
What can I do with a million books?
Get yourself a bookworm.
A bookworm?
I'll bring you one in an apple tomorrow.
All right, I'll take the books.
Then it's a deal, Mrs. Updike?
Yes, here's my check.
Well, that was a quick swindle.
Oh, it's wonderful, Mr. Wonderful. I must tell Doreen the great news. I'm off.
A fine time to confess. Well, come on, Jonathan.
All right. Let's go, Groucho.
Oh, wait. You can't go and leave me. Don't you realize that you are the men I love?
Barrymore, she loves us.
Mox, she loves us.
Yeah, ain't it sickening?
To hold a grand celebration at home plate next Thursday, because stepping up the bat to help John and me hit humorous home runs is that demon of the dugout, that sultan of strikeouts, Joe E. Brown. We hope you'll all be in the stands cheering for Joe and the home team. Until next Thursday, then, this is Rudy Valley reminding you to look for the red and white seal test symbol when you buy milk, ice cream, and other dairy products. Au revoir and good night.